You're listening to Highland Radio.
A very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition with Greg Hughes. Hope you're very well. Coming up on the programme today, Brian McDermott, the chef, is in studio to discuss the ongoing Home Food Festival. Nikki Bradley joins us for an update on her Fighting Fit for Ewings campaign. We head to Buncrana to see what's happening at the Tans Music Festival. And singer Mary Coughlan joins us to talk about her show in the Clannery Letterkenny tomorrow night. That and much more, including your calls and comments to 074 91 25000. Yvonne's waiting to take your calls there. You can text us, as always, on 086 77 00555. Or you can contact us via Twitter by tweeting at Greg Hughes 2. That's all between now and 12 o'clock here on the Weekend Edition. But first of all, we're going to reflect on some of the stories making the headlines in the newspapers today, and indeed what's been on the agenda over the course of the last few days. And I'm joined in studio to do this by former councillor Desi Larkin. Hi, Desi.
Good morning, Greg.
Long time since we've heard your voice in Highland, it seems.
Absolutely. It was funny when I seen the number coming up, the 074 91 25000. I thought, Lord, this is a
I'm not still on the housing committee. And how's it been? I mean, you've been privy to the election process. I didn't see you down there, so obviously you weren't that hungry that you felt you had to see all the ballots being counted and what have you. But did you miss not being involved?
I suppose anyone who ever got interested in politics would tell you it was probably a count that ignited that particular interest. And I suppose with your own very good coverage, I have to say, I did keep in touch and I listened to it. And we were up to the early hours in the morning listening to see what was happening. But I think when you step away from something, you have to step away from it. So I didn't want to either seem to be looking at or observing someone who was either going to be congratulated or unfortunately wasn't going to be a winner on a particular day. But I do still enjoy politics, but it's just for an observing point of view more than an acting point of view anymore, Greg.
Did anything surprise you in the local elections?
Well, I suppose like anything, when you serve maybe 5-10 years with particular colleagues from all parties, you're saddened to see someone lose their seat, and there always has to be winners and losers. And the three people, I suppose, who lost their seat, Noel and Mickey and Brenton, that was something that I suppose I had a huge empathy for. I could probably seen on the ground, as you would have done, the hard work that they would have put in. But again, as I say, the process is there, and I suppose if it takes something away, it would have been the thoughts to those three gentlemen and their families.
And was there any level of disillusion in your decision not to run again?
No, I don't think so. In fairness, it was an option there for me always to run if I'd wanted to run. I took the decision with my family and friends and people who had supported me all along. And at the end of the day, I'm very fortunate now. And I'm with employment within a show and development partnership, and I'm really enjoying that, working on a peace project. So I've still got that community involvement, which I always liked and probably was me most favourite part of being involved in politics. But no, there's no regrets, there's no looking back, and there's only looking forward.
Well, I think the media yesterday, nationally and locally, perhaps to a slightly lesser extent, were delighted for the cabinet reshuffle, because we are in the midst of the silly season, so to speak. You know, there's been a lot of talk of people describing it as a, like moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, and nothing's really changed. What's your reading of it? In as impartial manner as possible, but I understand you do obviously still have that Fianna Fáil hat on you.
Absolutely. I suppose looking at the whole cabinet reshuffle, I think everybody's always anxious to see what big changes and what's happening. I suppose the Leo Varadkar moving to health is probably the headline one. Many people, many commentators, both who would be in favour of Fine Gael or not so, would always recognise the fact he's someone who speaks what he's thinking.
Is that a good thing, though? Is that going to be a good thing? Because, you know, I do remember him taking some questions in the Dáil, and, the supplementary questions is often where those asking the questions gets the big hit. But often he was very sympathetic to the question being asked of him. So will he be able to be straight talking in the health department? Because there are obviously massive problems there.
I would like to think so. There's a huge challenge, there's absolutely no doubt about it. There was, Angola, I think it was referred to at one stage, I think by Brian Cowan. I think, in fairness, everyone would wish him well, because the one thing we all want to see is a health service that's working to its maximum. It's no doubt about it. It's a massive undertaking. So all I would say is wish him well. If there's an honesty being brought to politics with people speaking their mind, I think everybody would find that refreshing and very much welcomed.
Is it a good political move for him, though? Because many would see him as perhaps the standout minister of the government so far. You know, you only have to speak to the likes of the road safety groups and the progress he's made in that area. You know, this could work one of two ways. This could cement his position as potentially the next leader or the successor to Enda Kenny of Fine Gael, or it could end that, really, if the press turn on him, you know, and he makes a few errors or what have you. It could ruin his political career too.
Absolutely. It's a massive challenge, as say, taking over that particular portfolio. There's no doubt about it. If he does well and he's a success, the people will be holding him up as the next light. If he doesn't do well, it'll probably dent any kind of ambition that he has with regards to that. But I have no doubt that he will tackle it the way that he's tackled everything else, head on.
Heather Humphreys, is that a name that you're familiar with? She's been brought into government. She's a first-time TD. She's going to be the Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, so she's been going to be working closely, you'd imagine, with Dinny McGinley, Deputy Dinny McGinley. But do you any knowledge of Heather Humphreys before now?
Absolutely not. I think I welcome very much the fact that there's another female within the Cabinet. I think that gender balance is very, very important to have that particular view. She seems to be very popular, because if you look at the different reporting yesterday when they've been introduced into the Dáil, she seemed to receive an overwhelming...
I think that's because they haven't managed to dig up any dirt on her yet, because they don't know who she is.
I'm sure that'll happen too, you know, but listen, it's great to see it. I think it's refreshing that someone new's coming forward. But no, my knowledge of her would have been limited. Obviously, you take an interest after she was appointed to that particular ministry. But I have no doubt that it'll be enhanced, the fact that we have another female voice at Cabinet table.
All right, stick your cans on there for a second if you want, Desi, because... I mean, we have, I suppose you could say, a minister for sheep and shotguns almost, because the Defence Ministry has been lumped in now with agriculture. PJ McMonagall's the chair of the IFA here in Donegal. What's your reaction to this, PJ? Agriculture is a huge industry here in the country. Surely it's deserving of its own minister.
Indeed it does, Greg. We in AFA, and you know, personally I would be disappointed that Enda Kenny has given him a second role as well as agriculture, because you know, the agriculture it's starting to take off. You know, if you listen to what Simon Coveney's doing, and he's running to different companies trying to get markets out there, you know, if he's going to spend half his time now in defence, he's going to be off the ball. And this is a time when, you know, we need him most. And now he's going to be spread out across, you know, defence, and it just doesn't make sense.
It's a peculiar marriage, isn't it, defence and agriculture?
Yes, I think you put it very well. You know, sheep and shotguns. You know, it doesn't marry well. You know, together. You know, it doesn't seem to be one that you would put together.
Well, God help you if you protest in Dublin, you could be met with tanks.
You could meet anything now coming. That's, you know, he can bring out the defence forces against us now the next time we march. So.
I'm sure maybe you have them out helping you pick potatoes or something. Stay there, PJ. Desi, what's your take on it? I mean, I can't see the logic in it, but I presume there is some.
It is hard to see a logic in it, other than, I suppose, he would say there's a saving there with regards to administration of having two different ministries. But there's no doubt about it, PJ's right. Agriculture was a bright light when the country was... struggling big time. The exports that were coming about, the development with regards the beef industry, you know, the dairy industry, and the added value that was being got from that. The other side of that is that the defence would make the argument that they'd believe and understand that they should have a standalone ministry also, because again, with regards to the army and the sea and even the whole aspect of the security of the country. So I would have thought that, in my opinion, it would have definitely been better to keep the two ministries apart.
Because PJ, there's some challenging times coming ahead in farming, isn't there? I mean, it's not plain sailing.
It's far from plain sailing, and you know, we're in the middle of a beef crisis. You know, and we're dependent on the minister to, you know, to put all his efforts in behind it, and to be told now that, you know, he's going to be doing something else when we need him most, you know, and the what needs to be remembered is if he doesn't look after home, as far as agriculture is concerned, there's no point running to China or Japan looking for markets if there's nothing here to export. And it's total madness giving him another portfolio along with agriculture.
Are you prepared to wait and see, or do you think the IFA may seek a meeting and see if it can be?
Well, I suppose we can seek all the meetings we want, but I'm sure the Taoiseach has his mind made up. But we'll be putting the pressure on Simon Coveney, you know, to not take his eye off the ball and you know, to keep doing what he's doing, because, you know, I suppose, as ordinary farmers, we think a lot of times he's taking his eye off the ball and not giving, you know, the ordinary man on the ground a chance. So this is another nail in his coffin as far as the ordinary farmer's concerned.
Right, well, we'll see how we get on. PJ, thanks for taking the call this morning.
Thank you,
good
Greg.
Man. PJ McMonagall there, IFA chair here in Donegal. Obviously, you're still devout Fianna Fáil, Desi, are you?
I suppose with the role that I play now, Greg, I've become apolitical, and I have to really...
Yeah,
just...
but for the purpose of the newspapers. I mean, listen, this is Micheál Martin holding the government to task yesterday about the reshuffle.
It is not the personalities that matter, but the policies they implement. And all the evidence is that very little will change because of this reshuffle. It's a bit like cosmetic surgery, except nothing major has changed. The public want a new direction, not just new faces. But they have not got that new direction.
Loads of metaphors being mixed up there. I mean, that was his time really to strike a devastating blow against the government. He didn't do it, did he?
I suppose, like anything, it's the nature of politics in Ireland that no matter if Micheál Martin stood up and he was totally supportive of the changes, he can't be seen to be that way. He has to have...
But it's when he gets that opportunity to sort of, you know, make his point, and he's talking about having plastic surgery and nothing changing and then different faces and all that type of thing, you'd imagine he'd have been able to come up with something that would have been a headline grabber, you know, a real
dig in. The only headline grabber at the minute is Gareth Brooks, and if you mention him, I don't think you're going to get a headline.
Well, we're going to be mentioning him after the break, so don't scupper those plans.
I do believe that the fact that, you know, I think everyone is in unison, we want to see the country progress, we want to see the country go forward. As I say, the position that Micheál Martin has to take at all time is challenging. The fact that he challenged the Taoiseach around the whole issue of medical carriage for over 70s and announcements like that, it seemed to have brought it forward. There seems to be a lot of good news coming for young families, for people on middle incomes. So it seems that the election may have started with the reshuffle, or the positioning with regards to next election has started with the reshuffle, and that could be an interesting times ahead, Greg.
You really have become apolitical, haven't you? I was thinking I was going to have to do Enda Kenny's job here, but now you're doing it too as well. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. You can call us on 0749 125000. It's the weekend edition here in Highland. Former councillor Desi Larkin's joining us, in studio with us. And we're going to have to mention Gareth, aren't we? We'll do that after this break. A lot of people yesterday, Desi Larkin, in discussing the news of the day and some of the stories of the week, was the reshuffle yesterday, at least from a Twitter perspective, kept Gareth Brooks out of people's timelines and off the news for the most part. It's been an absolute joke. But at the start, I was like, my God, what's this country doing? Can we not organise a few concerts? And at this stage now, I'm saying, I think we've bent over backwards for Gareth Brooks. If he doesn't want the gigs, I'm sorry for fans that are going to be disappointed, but whatever.
Yeah, I think the one thing it has shown is that the process needs fixed, the process needs changed, that a decision can be made 3 weeks before the event is going to take place. That is obviously totally inadequate. And I think the other fact that there's no appeals process with regards to the final decision has left everybody in a position, no matter if you're for or against. But I think yesterday the fact that there was 5 gigs put on the table that was going to look to accommodate, and then you start to ask yourself, well, if they're going to have 5, why not have the 5 over the 5 days? Because I think once you say the precedent that 5 can go ahead, my own personal view on it would be I would rather have 5 over 5 days than have 2 a day for 2 of the days, because I can only imagine the logistics that are involved.
And the health and safety concerns, you'd imagine shifting so many people out and then another crew back in. And in, what the ironies is, though, that was apparently, according to Aitken Promotions, that was one of his suggestions. And now that he had his such a heartfelt press release, press conference, he's like going once again. He doesn't want to let fans down because he, you know, he's got an evening show and that's what it should be. But what else does he want us to do?
I suppose when you look at it and you think of it and you think there has to be a logic here, there has to be a compromise, you can't doubt his devotion to his fans. He's saying, listen, I don't want to water this down. It's either one or it's none, or it's the five or it's none. You know what? You kind of say, well, what's his thinking there? But I thought his press conference, he came across very genuine in the fact that he talked about the Limerick situation where people found it hard to book tickets. They tried to address that. He talked about, again, as you were saying, it's a nighttime show and that. So I suppose either you're for him or against him, but you have to admire the fact that he seems to have a principle that he wants to put on a show for everyone.
And I go back to the interview I was doing with him when I was sitting in for Sean, and, you know, he heard about the couple of local girls who had queued for tickets, were unsuccessful, and he gave them tickets, and they came through with that, by the way. Those tickets are there, and hopefully maybe they'll still be able to be used if they can come up with some solution. But then, you know, it seems that we are compromising with the 5 gigs in 3 days. Even if it's not a good idea, that option's on the table, and that's not good enough for him. So what is going to be good enough? Why can't he do the 3 gigs, and then when he starts his world tour, come back and do the final 2 gigs and satisfy his fans that way? You know, I mean, there's not an awful lot more we can do at this stage, is there?
No, and them arguments seem logical, but I have to say, the logic doesn't seem to work in the fact that he believes that each and every fan should be treated equally, and every fan should be entitled to have the same experience as another one. So no matter if you have, as you rightly say, the view that, listen, let's be pragmatic about this, let's have the 5 shows, I think you have to admire in some way his principle and the fact he's taken a stance that it's all or nothing, you know.
Did you have tickets for this, does he not?
No, I didn't.
Do you have a Stetson?
I don't.
Do you have a Garth Brooks album?
I have been called a cowboy.
Well, say nothing about that. Someone actually agrees with me. Hello, Michael.
Oh, Greg, how's things?
I'm all right. Do you think we've done as much as we can to accommodate him?
I agree to a percentage with what you're saying there. We have done a lot, yes, to accommodate and bend over backwards, etc. But on the bigger picture of it, at the end of the day, Gareth Brooks was promised a 5 night for making promotions. Whether you agree or disagree, he was told that. Also, on the other flip side of the coin, if this 5 nights or whatever now, or whatever reasonable agreement to come to, hopefully it won't be the 5 nights for the fan. I really hope that they do get the 5 nights. But if he doesn't get the 5 nights, who knows what way the scenario is going to turn then. One thing for sure, if we don't get the 5 nights and if Gareth Brooks doesn't come at all, this ship of cargo stuff turned around and everything else and back to America, we can kiss goodbye to our friendly relationship with America.
Do you think so?
Yes, definitely.
Do you think it's really bothering that many Americans whether or not he comes and
plays? I have family in America and I have family in America, in Oregon, and the States. Also, where I live here in Fulcara, Dunfanaghy here, a lot of people around here working out there, etc. Around the New York and Pennsylvania and so on, etc. They are really, really upset about the whole thing because so many people from over there were coming here to Ireland first time.
Right.
Business, everything else, as well as the Irish over there coming back. And, like, really, I know there's planning regulations in place and all the rest, but to be fair, like, look at the bigger picture of it. We're in Ireland. There are times in the past that didn't bother with planning regulations, so now I know it may not be the way to look at it.
It's kind of strange when you are getting, like, so many different types of people and politicians.
Yes.
After all the problem we've had with planning, then say, well, listen, I know it's a planning decision, but we can make an exception in this case. I mean, some would say that's an Irish solution to an Irish problem.
Well, exactly, but the problem they have now is bad. But I would say, honestly, from what I'm hearing back from my own family in the States, and obviously ourselves here in Donegal, everywhere else, every day in the radio, every paper, news, whatever you listen to, we'll have a hell of a lot more problems if Gareth Brooks doesn't come, because it will sour the relationship. It's going to damage the hotel industry here, it's going to damage the tourism industry, it's going to damage Ireland's reputation, possibly beyond compare, that we may never get back, because I think the government really needs, whatever they need to do, they need to get it pushed ahead and get the 5 nights. Okay, even if the penalties and stuff to impose, whatever, fair enough. Just for once in their lifetime, we're in a recession, we're struggling, our counties all around are on their knees. Young people have no work. Young people are going away to fire off lambs through no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Some are coming back then with sad stories, except that things didn't work out. So the way I look at it now, when there's millions and millions to come over a week or whatever the case may be, can the government please and the politicians just not say, okay, let's turn a blind eye, get Gareth Brooks here, let's have the 400, 500,000, whatever the case may be, have a good time, look at the work it's going to throw, look at the revenue it's going to throw.
Yes.
And the biggest thing I see here out of the whole thing with Gareth Brooks, he's going to make a video in Ireland, predominantly in Dublin. But who knows, that could take in scenery from outside Dublin as well.
Yeah, all right.
And that is the big thing here.
Okay.
Put Ireland on the map for a tourist point of view.
Michael, thank you very much for that. I mean, it's a strong argument, but... you know, you were talking earlier on about reform, reforming the system. Regardless of whatever system, you're not going to be able to compel these residents, and forget about Gareth Brooks, whoever it is, into the future. You can't compel them to have 5 gigs in a row in any case. So any system will involve public consultation, and by definition, possibly, that would result in maybe no concerts going ahead.
Absolutely, but I think the one thing that people are agreed on, both the residents, indeed the promoter, and indeed Gareth Brooke, is that shouldn't it came to this stage that people are only finding out now, after 5 gigs were sold out, that they can't go ahead. I think the process should have allowed that 3 months ago, 4 months ago, a decision was made then before a ticket was sold and people were confined. And the residents have to be brought into this. The residents should be allowed to make their point. The residents should be allowed to make their objections, as indeed anyone should be allowed
to. Should it be proportionate, though? There's a 300 them. Their concern should be proportionate to the greater good of the country, should they?
No, I think, again, any system should take that into, you know, it's like the appeal system that you have, even with a planning decision anywhere in the country, you can bring that to on board Planalla as a single individual or as a group or the way forward. There's no appeals process in this particular way of working with regards to licensing. It seems to be one individual has signed off with the manager's order. That's his job. It's a tough job. It's a difficult one. He had to bring certain things into his consideration. But I think the fact that it happened within 3 weeks of the event going ahead of a five-show sellout, that was wrong, Greg.
A lot of people are frustrated, and I do share it to some extent, but then I also understand that there's nothing you can do about it. The Gareth Brooks story has been talked about and talked about and talked about, and reality perhaps deserves it. 400,000 people are involved here. That's a portion of the population, what, 8% or something like that? But then you have things going on in the Middle East, like the escalation in violence over there, the young children being killed, the ongoing onslaught into Gaza, and in some extent in the other direction. And I noticed, particularly on Twitter and social media, people are frustrated that people don't care about that, but they care about reshuffles and they care about Gareth Brooks. And people are frustrated that people don't care about austerity and what their own country is going through, but they care about Gareth Brooks. Why is that?
I think, again, and that's an argument comes up an awful lot, it's horrible to think that 100 people have lost their lives now with regards in the Palestine. And it's terrible, and you're right, should that be front page news? Should that be the only thing we're discussing? Probably. But the thing about it is, we need escapism. We need something other than that, because a lot of the time the news stories are horrific. A lot of the time there's stuff that we already know. We've talked to death about austerity and where we are and we're coming through it and whatnot. So we do like distractions. And there's no doubt about it, the Gareth Brooks story has been a distraction. As you rightly say, this is the silly season with regards to media coverage.
I never said that. You said that when you were talking about my news coverage.
and it always was, you know. And in fairness, if you ever wanted to get something out, this was the time of year. As a politician, you said to yourself, there's an opportunity there to come up with something. And that's just the nature of it. People are on holidays, less people are involved in the news, less people are reading newspapers. So it is a challenging time for the media. And this has caught the imagination.
But I think because of social media, the Gareth Brooks story is a lot of these stories now are being driven by people, not necessarily the newspapers. You know, like, newspapers now are looking at what's trending on Twitter in a lot of cases, and that's what's dictating their front pages. A huge day in Northern Ireland today, July the 12th, and we've been listening about the 11th and 9th bonfires, and a few listeners want me to get your views on this. We've had posters going up on some of these bonfires, and there was one that people have taken particular issue with, where it's an effigy of Gerry Adams hanging from the top of it. And I mean this completely apolitical. I can't understand the logic to any of that on any side. Are you surprised that this is where we're at in 2014? Do you think people need to get a calendar out and see where we are?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, I think, for anyone to be burnt, anybody's effigy to be burnt on any bonfire, from no matter where you're coming from or what it's about. I think we would all like to think that we could embrace and celebrate everybody's diversity, and I suppose that's some of the stuff that we're working on within a show and development partnership, is appreciating where we're all coming from. And I think the fact that people would either individualise a certain person to burn their effigy or to play them down is wrong, from wherever they're coming from, whatever side. It's wonderful that there's events like you say going on Donegal this weekend with the Éirigh Laird Festival starting tonight, the food festival, the homegrown, there's festivals down in Kerrygaard. You know, this is within miles of where this is happening.
A lot, and some of them are timed to coincide with
people wanting to come out, they want respite and that. But I would like to think that maybe 2014 or 2020 or whatever it's going to be, that we would start to be moving towards that we could appreciate each other, we could celebrate each other's diversity, that we could actually work together. And listen, if people believe within their culture that they do something, absolutely.
But regardless of what side you're on, if you are celebrating your culture, celebrating your culture shouldn't require you to put down someone else's. And I know that's a very simplistic point of view, but it almost waters down the celebration of your own culture if you feel that if there's not enough to celebrate, that I have to go and, you know, be disrespectful to another side. And as I say, that goes in either direction. I'm not talking about what's happening at the moment, but I mean, I would see you're showing weakness there. By
I think the vast majority of people would agree with you from whatever side you're coming from, is that to celebrate your own, bring that message out, bring it, be a clear message. And when you dilute that, as if you do go into the practice of burning somebody's poster, and that again, as you say, happens unfortunately on both sides, it may well be the minority, and an awful lot of the times it is, but that'll always get the headline, that'll always get the story.
And that's where the community leaders have to come in and control that minority. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. What team do you support, Desi?
Avid Liverpool fan.
I'm thinking, because I've a few texts in here, people are wanting to know what your views are on Pac-Man going to Barcelona.
He is an absolutely wonderful footballer. He's one of the greatest talents I've ever seen. He was there at Liverpool a short 3.5 years. You can never condone his actions with regards to the biting incidences. It was just deplorable, and it was so unfortunate that it happened again, and I don't think anybody could have stood over it. If you separate the sinner from the sin, he was just a phenomenal footballer. As a Liverpool fan, I think a majority of them would wish him well. They would wish, hopefully, that he'll get whatever issues he has.
Well, he needs psychological help as well. As a neutral, and I'm so delighted when I hear about people arguing about football, it does my head in. But I love watching soccer. I love watching it. So as a neutral, to see a player of that quality gone from the Premier League, Liverpool are going to have a major... I heard, I think it was Mark Larson saying he was irreplaceable. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but it's a big loss to the Premier League, to a player of that standard, regardless of his indiscretions.
Absolutely, and like I remember back, I suppose I'm about long enough supporting Liverpool at the time, Kevin Keegan was leaving and said he could never be replaced, and we then got Keane Kenny, one of the greatest footballers again that ever graced the Anfield turf. There's no doubt about it, it's the Premiership is going to lose, it's Sky TV lose, we'll lose out. We've seen it with Bale when he left from Spurs. Had 100 million available.
Well, that's the mistake. That is where the manager really comes into his own here, because a lot of that money was squandered, and he needs to really look, doesn't he, how the team plays, because he has to play a different way, and he has to bring players in perhaps to play in a different way, in a different system.
Yeah, and I think Brendan Rodgers has shown himself to be a great tactical manager. He's someone who seems to be able to change formations within the team to adjust to who's available and who's not available. But there's absolutely no doubt he's going to be judged greatly with regards to the resources he has now and how he's going to spend those. It seems that he's moving the Southampton team up to Anfield at the moment, and again, that's not a bad thing when you look at the season that they had last year. So I'd have no doubt that the fans would be totally behind Brendan Rodgers, and they would have faith in his choices. But there's not an awful lot of quality out there that would be able to replace Suarez, if the truth be told. And I think the World Cup has been fantastic, but the one thing it has shown to me is that there is a lack of quality in world football at the moment. Although it's very exciting to watch, because a lot of mistakes made and the games have been very open, but I think the thread that's run through it from my particular point of view is that there is definitely a lack of quality in the football stage at the moment.
And I suppose I have to ask you how you think Liverpool will do. I mean, if they weren't bottlers, probably they would have won this year, but this last season. But how do you think they'll do next year?
Well, in fairness, he's brought them from a seventh place team.
But without Suarez, that could have been one of those seasons.
It could, and he was phenomenal. But again, he missed a a large part of last season, the start of it. They still played very well.
True.
The games that he wasn't there, they seemed to step up to the plate with regards to Coutinho and Sturridge, who are fantastic. There's no doubt about it. We need another world-renowned striker. We need to strengthen in certain areas. And as I say, I have no doubt Brendan Rodgers will do that. And as someone who now has sat saying for the last 20-odd years, this is our season, I'm going to have to say
it. Tired about it. You're going to have a lot of challenges. With the likes of Chelsea, I think particularly might be dangerous this year. You talked about the World Cup, the finals on. I think it's been a fantastic World Cup, and not necessarily the quality of it, but I think the timing of the matches have been very useful for people because, you know, a lot of people may be getting home from work, you get your dinner in, get a soap out the way, you can watch the 9 o'clock game, you know, and then there were some later games for those who can't sleep earlier on in the tournament. So I think that's lent itself to the whole spectacle, but it has been a fantastic month and people are going to miss it, I think.
Absolutely, and again, it's an intriguing final coming up. Now, unfortunately, I remember back to 1990, probably one of the worst games of football ever played. Was the Germany-Argentina final, but I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think it's going to be a wonderful spectacle. The World Cup has been fantastic. The one thing that I've taken from the two is that where before a team from Europe would have wilted under the heat and the conditions, it just shows you how advanced technology has come, because it doesn't seem to have affected European teams at all with regards to the heat, the climate, the conditioning. So I think sport's at a level now that they really can perform anywhere, and that's probably enhanced the tournament.
And who do you fancy for the final then?
Well, I actually stated that I thought Argentina would be the team to beat the whole way through. So even though the Germans absolutely demolished Brazil, I still am going to have to stick with Argentina, and I think Messi's going to come to
side bet with you on that one.
Messi's going to come to the fore. I don't think he has totally exploded.
But he's so easy to neutralise.
I think
people have worked him out now.
I don't know. I think he's just had an indifferent season, even with his club. He's come through a couple of injuries and everything else, but he's an absolutely phenomenal footballer, and I still think the final word's going to be down to him.
Okay, we'll see. Desi, thanks so much for coming in. We've had so much to get through on the programme today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. As you said, your new challenge, your new life, you're enjoying that, and it's community-based to a great extent too, still.
Absolutely, and listen, thanks for asking me, and it's been a pleasure. I wish you well with regards to the format and the show. I think it's a wonderful and an excellent idea, and many years continued success to Hind Radio.
Right, wish I hadn't slacked you off about Liverpool now. That's Desi Larkin there. But what do you think? The producer of the programme, Yvonne McFadden, went out in the streets of Letterkenny to see what people thought on a number of issues. Who's going to win the World Cup? What was the other one? Garth Brooks, of course, and our new health minister. And there's some indifference out there as well. And in this day and age, I think you have to include that. We'll be back with more in the programme after we hear from you out there.
Leo Varadkar has been appointed health minister. What changes would you propose that he make?
Lots of changes. I think get the budget right under control first. I think it's the big problem. Get more students, give them a better opportunity, right, to find work here, and doctors, right, also, instead of having to go overseas, right, to look for work, right, overseas. Just a general shake-up, right, of the whole system, right, altogether. I don't think right, Riley was the right man for the job. I think right, Leo Varadkar, right, has a little bit more common sense. He comes from a good background, he seems to be well liked. Mm-hmm. So hopefully maybe with him coming on board, that might be a little bit better. They have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of problems, right, to sort out. But I think, right, one of the main problems, right, is the budget.
Leo Varadkar has been appointed Minister for Health. What changes would you want him to make now?
The changes that Ireland can afford to make are limited. And until their money improves, there'll not be too many changes that'll help or satisfy people. Okay. So we just have to say more prayers and hope that they stay safe.
What do you think about the whole Gareth Brooks situation?
No, I never really thought about it, did you?
It seems a bit hard on the people who bought tickets.
What do you think of the whole Gareth Brooks debacle now? Are you a fan?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people like his music. It wouldn't be my cup of tea necessarily. But, it's an embarrassment, I think, that, you know, for something like that to hit world headlines is crazy with everything else, so many other things going on.
And what about the World Cup? Who's your predictions to win?
You know, I'm from 25 years, love Italy team. But, you know, they lost. And now on Sunday, I think I will Germany.
You're going for Germany. And who would your top goal scorer be?
Whoa. I hope Thomas Müller from Germany.
Germany, I think.
Yeah, I think Germany will be too good for Argentina, I think.
All right, and thanks to everyone who took part there chatting to Yvonne. 086-7700-555 is our text line. You can call us on 07491-25000. Many you have already. Has anyone thought about the people who've bought the tickets for Monday and Tuesday that matinee shows on Saturday and Sunday might not be possible for them? That's in relation to the Garth Brooks issue, and I did think about that myself as well. My thought particularly is with anyone in these situations who bought these tickets third party. I know particularly after the first couple of concerts were announced that many people would have gone online to auction websites and what have you and paid very much over the odds. And even if they were able to get a refund of the face value of a ticket, they're certainly going to be left with quite a bill, aren't they, for the premium that they paid for them. P.S. I just love the suggestion that anyone who can't get a refund for the hotel should donate the room to the homeless. I'm not sure if you fully endorse that or you think it's a good or a bad idea. It sounds like a good idea. Final one on Garth Brooks. Well, there's a couple coming in here, so we can't ignore them. Re Garth Brooks, the powers that be will offer everything but the one common sense solution, i.e. five concerts, five nights, making out they're doing their best. What do you think? They're kidding a disgusted fan. I think the truth of the matter is Garth Brooks is trying to call our bluff. He's told there would only be three concerts at the beginning. He was never told he could get five. And I don't know at this stage, should one person be able to hold so many others to ransom? As I say, a big fan of Garth Brooks previously, but I don't know. It's I'm starting to wonder what else we would need to do. What employment is Garth Brooks going to do? A couple of hours for a couple of students. Ireland, get a grip. And a final one, definitely on this for now. The planning officer should be able to change his mind. If we had more of them changing their minds, we wouldn't have had as many ghost estates in Ireland. Desi Larkin, our guest earlier on, mentioned some of the fantastic events that are being run right across the county. We've touched on most of them over the course of the last few days here in Highland Radio. And Buncrana Music Festival's already underway. No licensing issues up there, Nicholas Crossan?
I hope not, Greg.
Everyone who's scheduled to play has played. There's no threat of boats being turned around, nothing like that.
Well,
no.
I have offered to divert Gareth Brooks both Dundee Buncrana Pier, and we would take him on the shore greens in Buncrana for 5 nights any time.
If we can get him in on high tide, that should be no problem, would it? Now, tell us, how's the festival going? It kicked off last night, did it?
We kicked off. Before we do that, Greg, I wasn't talking to yourself or anybody from Highland, but congratulations, first of all, on your own show and getting the 10-year license. You're a great service for Donegal and surrounding county, so... And there's a great, I'm enjoying the show on a Saturday morning. It's very, very good.
It's very much appreciated, Nicholas. And I didn't know you were going to say that. I was going to invite you on anyway, you know.
Well, shall I make it back now?
Oh, you will. It's a regular guest every Saturday. So, yeah, it started last night. And I haven't had an opportunity to get up there myself, but I've seen some pictures of, I think it was last year's or the years before, and the amount of people out in the streets and people enjoying themselves. It's a fantastic time to be on Buncrana.
Yeah, we started, we actually were to have an extra night this year. We went and started off with a country night on Thursday night with Lee Matthews.
Oh, very good.
Up and coming, sorry. Fantastic. If anybody is in and around the county from... and different places, you get a chance to go along. Absolutely rocked the town on Thursday night. People dancing and jiving on the street. And beautiful night and great entertainment. Great to see families out and enjoying themselves. So that was on Friday night. Last night put a bit of damper on it with the weather. With a great band, and I have to be very careful how to say this, What the Funk was the name of the band.
I know Oisín struggled with that one on the ads,
yes,
as well.
Yes, I just heard that, all right. But... great reception from the people, and I have to genuinely thank the people who turned up last night. It was just the rain came on about 9:30, 9:45, and it lashed down for an hour, you know. But people stood on the street and they enjoyed themselves. They were in party mood, and the rain wasn't going to keep them back.
And what's going on today? And just talking about the weather, actually, I think you're going to have quite favourable weather and the other events happening around the county. Yeah. It's generally dry tonight, just a few showers, and Sunday. Just the odd light shower, so yeah. You probably got the worst of it out of the way last night.
Yeah, we were worried about today. They were talking about rain today, and if you get a bad start to the morning, people say, oh, hell, we're not bothered going on, and various things like that there. we'll start Rose Bowl tonight, but the band we've on tonight is a U2 tribute band called Rattle and Hum, and they were here 2 years ago, and people have asked them back again. And absolutely fantastic. Any people on the U2 and rock, they're really fantastic band to listen to on the street. And that kicks off at 9 o'clock tonight, and we're asking as many people for as possible to turn out for that event. We have a 5 mile walk or run today, and that's registered very soon, from 11 o'clock, it's registered at the Leisure Centre in Moncrana, so if anybody's feeling fit after last night, then go down and enjoy that. And then at 12 p.m, or we have down on the shorefront with sand casting building competition with kite demonstrations. The scouts have volunteered to come down and show us their activities and camping and sing songs and whatever else is going along with it. And in the Moncrana Golf Club, we have a Noble Stableford golf tournament running today and tomorrow, and that there, and great prizes on that there one.
And give us a mention of tomorrow if you want to you're on.
Yeah, well, we've Big Denver's in the plaza tonight, and of course, there's for the younger ones at heart there that want to move along to, there's Disco and Liberties. But tomorrow is, we close off the main street in Moncrana now that's that past 3 years, and we call it a Sunday Fun Day. And on the main street in Moncrana, we have the fun fair. Collins Amusements comes up with their fun fair. We have the bouncy castles for the kids, face painting, Disney characters, Moncrana's biggest quiz, an open air quiz out on the street where it's a 50-50 answer, and where you eliminate down to one last person standing, which was a great success last year. Great character, and then the kids love it because they're on one side, the next thing they change over to the other side, and then they change back and they're wrong or whatever, you know. So great fun on the street for the children on that. We have a duck derby down the Cranna River, and that's the native St. Vincent de Paul. So anything that was happening around the town, Greg, we put it onto our program to bulk up our program, but people that are in town will see different events on. We have a craft fair on the main street. People are coming along with some crafts on the main street and toys and novelties and whatever like that there. And Sunday night, James Peake Experience. He was down last year. The people wanted him back, so we just took him back again. He's a fantastic singer, and I'm sure lots and lots of people, and Donegal, Derry, and Antrim, you know, that's he's originally from Belfast, but he's absolutely fantastic singer.
Okay, I mean, it's a fantastic lineup, and there's much more. You know, on a month-to-month, week-to-week basis, we talk in a negative light about a lot of our areas, because I suppose that's what vexes people, and that's what makes the news. How important are events like this for people's moods and spirits, and for the towns, not just like Moncrana, but across the whole region, just to lift the spirits and show the positives?
I think you hit the nail on the head. You're 100% right in what you're saying in that, Greg. It has been a very quiet wonder for business, and people tell me no matter what type of business they're in, no matter what shop, restaurant, pub, whatever they're in, it's been very, very quiet. People come out, and we're blessed so far with reasonably good weather. People come out, they're in a festive atmosphere. They will go in for maybe a beer or their chips or a meal in a restaurant, whatever the case may be. They're out and about. They get people moving. They meet people they don't meet from one end of the year. And I think it's a feel-good factor. We're just coming off the feel-good fortnight there, which was a tremendous success in Moncrana. So that started in July. We're into the third week in July, and there has something been continuously going on. And I think it's lifted the spirits of the people. For example, on Monday night, we have the Festival Pub Talent Final and then a show in Gateway Hotel.
Okay.
So we've asked the pubs around the town if anybody wants to go up and sing. And this is not for the good singers. This is for singers that...
The likes of yourself and myself.
I didn't want to say that, but certainly for myself. For raw pub talent who can entertain a crowd. And we're looking forward to that on Monday night.
Well, I think
that it all helps just to lift that. People can get out. It's not expensive anywhere. It's not expensive. It's €5 on the street to get in. Kids under 12 are free. So it's not an expensive night. We have purposely done that, bring it out in the street so we can get a few people in, keep the prices down. And that's we want people out and enjoying themselves.
All right. Nicholas Crossan, Councillor Nicholas Crossan, thank you so much for coming on the programme and discussing that. And best of luck to you.
And to you as well, Greg. Thank you very much.
Take care now. And anything else you think we should let people know about what they can do this weekend, got in contact with us, and we'll give it a mention between now and 12.